A business owner, I presume, said, Greg, searched on Google for a link to apply for the Power Up grant. Can't find one. Can you share it on the radio or on the website, please? We will indeed. The only issue there is that it's not live yet. It's being launched tomorrow and we'll post the link when it is live. And I'll read it out if I get it whilst I'm on air. Okay, let's go to our regular feature now. It's called Wellness Wednesday. And we're talking now to Tom McGill, who's a family support worker with Alcohol Forum Ireland. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you very much for having me on.
No, it's good to speak to you. And we're really going to focus this conversation on MPACT, which is Moving Parents and Children Together programme. What's this about and what's its advantage? Well, we'll start with what it's about.
So the programme's about supporting young people. It's supporting young people to have a voice within a household that has addiction within the household. It's about hidden harm. Giving the young person a platform to be able to grow, to be able to grow within the household, moving the parent and child together, for the parents to be able to see the effect on the young person that their addiction is having within the household.
All right. Now, obviously, it would be the case most often that this does impact on the young person in the house, and they may not understand exactly why it is. How do we know through our research and the evidence that it is beneficial to sort of start talking to the young person, you know, about what addiction is, how it might impact them and how they might cope with it? Where's the advantage there?
I mean, the advantage is it's opening a line of communication within the household. I mean, as we know that when there's an addiction in the household, that the young people within that household and the parents within that household do not communicate with each other. The young person doesn't want to cause any more drama within the household. So they'll go into their rooms or go to their friends or not come into the house at all or whatever. It is a fact-based programme, so we know the programme works. We know from all the feedback we get from the families and everything else that the programme does work for the young people and the family unit. So the family unit is a very successful thing. So we do it as a family-based support. So we support the full family, and the person in active addiction can still take part in the programme.
Say that one more time, the last bit.
So the fact that the person in active addiction, so if when we're dealing with a family and the person is in active addiction, yep, and they're not in that stage to be in their recovery at this moment, we will still have them taking part in the programme. Uh-huh. And the only stipulation we would have with that is they do not have any alcohol or use any substances in the day of the programme. So that's a barrier. That's a barrier we're trying to take away. A lot of other programmes that's running, parents need to be in recovery. So we hope through all the programme, through what the programme delivers and everything else, that the parent men or the parent guardian gets that insight that where recovery can benefit them, yeah, within a family unit.
So by having them involved in the process earlier, in a controlled situation, it can, maybe they see the wood for the trees, and it can be a motivating factor in trying to address their addiction. That makes sense. Tom, what's the pathway to being on this program? Right, so say, for instance, then we'll just use a dad for an example, right? It could be a mom. We'll just use a dad because then it saves having to try and use non-judgmental or non-specific words. So say there's a dad for an example, and they are an addict but not yet in recovery. How does a family then find themselves referred to or involved in the MPACT program?
So there is a few ways that they can be referred into the program. So they can be referred through an agency, they can be referred through their doctor or anyone else. But we try and take as many barriers away as possible. So we will deal with self-referrals. So if any family member out there who is thinking that their family could benefit from this program, they could phone myself.
Right. So if I'm the other half, then my partner has an addiction, and I'm hoping they'll seek help, but they're not at this point. And we can talk about when they are seeking help as well. And I've got, say, two kids living in the house. I can contact Alcohol Forum Ireland. And you know, especially if the kids are struggling with, or what have you, and I think in that environment it would be hard to fully insulate them. At that point, then, you can work with me and the two children and the partner, if they're willing to talk about coping mechanisms, to understand addiction and, you know, feel supported.
Yes, very much so. I mean, within the programme, it's the elephant in the room, and a lot of families who are going through this do not want to speak about addiction. Mm-hmm. It's a shame and stigma. It's a shame and stigma about having addiction within the house, and the young people will take that to school, and they don't want to talk about their parents, they don't want to talk, they'll not have their friends back to the house or anything else. Mm-hmm. So we will address addiction. I mean, that is the main part of the impact programme, addressing addiction within the household. So that's the elephant in the room, and the first couple of sessions is all about addiction and all about how it's affecting the young people, how it's affecting the household, how it's affecting the family unit.
Now, the children may not be very badly affected by it, say hypothetically, Tom, but you might have a parent who is concerned that if they bring people into the home, that it could be a pathway for Tuzla to be involved or the children to be taken from them. I hope you understand where that question's coming from, in that, you know, it's difficult 100%. To open your doors and to bring people into that environment. And whilst they might be confident that their children are being protected as best they can, they're afraid then potentially that once family support workers come into that house, that it opens up a whole pathway where they could actually, in trying to support and help their children, find themselves being parted from their children. How do you deal with that? What do you say to that?
I mean, what we would say the first hand is that Tuzla is not there as a punishment. Tuzla is there to help support family members. And Tuzla is a great support of the Impact Programme. 100% they support the Impact Programme. And they know the benefits of families coming into the Impact Programme. Tuzla, we work closely with Tuzla. If a family comes in and they're not a part of Tuzla, and we don't need them to be a part of it, they don't tell us about Tuzla. Mm-hmm. Sorry. If they do not need to be a part of Tuzla, I mean, if it's a low-level intervention, Tuzla are more than happy for us to take the lead in that.
Yeah.
But if something comes up within the family and something comes up, a duty of care, if a child comes in and a child says that there is something happening within that household, we are duty-bound.
Yeah. And that's the right thing to do. Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Yeah, exactly. But it'll only be if there are those types of suspicions. So in other words, I just want to make sure that everyone who perhaps could avail of this doesn't feel there's barriers to them doing so.
We run a very open and honest programme.
No
and
doubt.
We will be open and honest with the families at the very onset of them coming into us.
Right, okay. And if people want to learn more about this, you say there's already families, I'm sure, being referred as we speak, but you talked of self-referral, Tom, or even just to maybe explore the possibilities a bit more, because there are aggravating factors here. Say, for instance, if the person with an addiction is resistant to this, or that maybe their partner feels that this could trigger some sort of behaviour from them, or what have you. You know what I mean? When we're talking about the areas of addiction, it can be really quite complicated. So important to talk it through with the likes of yourselves in advance.
Very much. I mean, Greg, what we are saying is we would love the two parents to attend. If one of them or both of them is in active addiction, we would still love them to attend. But if they do not feel that they're ready to attend and they're in agreement, I mean, GDPR needs to come into this, and it's so the parents need to agree for the children to take part. It could be an older sibling, as long as the older sibling is over 18. Mm-hmm. It could be a grandparent that brings it. It could be, we just need a consistent person to bring the young people to the programme.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't need to be the parent. It doesn't need to be the parents that bring the young people to the programme. As long as we've got a consistent adult bringing a child to the programme, and that child will get something from the programme.
Okay. Right. Great stuff, Tom. Listen, thank you very much for that. I hope I haven't discouraged. I'm trying to encourage people and sort of break down any barriers people might have in seeking this type of support. And I appreciate Tom helping me doing so. How did they get in contact? Did you mention that? Sorry.
So they can phone me directly and they can speak to me.
Right, we'll retain your number here. Tom, we'll people aren't going to be there with a pen. So if you want to get more information, we've got Tom's number here. He's given us permission to share. We'll double check that with you, Tom, off air. But for now, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself, Tom. Keep up the good work. Tom McGill, family support worker with Alcohol Forum Ireland. An emailer says, is it true The government is taking the word maternity out of the HSC. Maternal is mother. Mother have babies, so why would they do that? It's undermining mothers. I've not heard anything of that. If you look at the HSC website, as it relates to maternity care services, it reads, every woman who is pregnant and ordinarily resident and in Ireland is entitled to maternity care, and on it goes. So it's very clear that those giving birth to children at the moment anyway, from the HSC's perspective, is woman. And I don't see actually any other inclusive language in that regard. I've heard no plans, but it's very easy to say there are plans because it kind of is a bit fearful and people get all, you know, yourself. As it relates to bowel screening, a caller says, my story is exactly the same. No symptoms, no blood. Operation in Galway through bowel screen by a fantastic surgeon called Dr. Joyce. Thank God, doing fine. I'm so pleased. So that's just to emphasise that. That's two listeners. Now, we've lots and lots of listeners, okay? But that's still a decent representation of the general population. We have two listeners. Both of them received the bowel screening kits through the post from the HSC once they hit the age of 59. Both had no symptoms of bowel cancer. Both returned their stool sample and then both were contacted to say that we've found something here. And both, hopefully, both, well, I know both are doing well now and both had bowel cancer picked up early. So really important you return those kits. Really important that you register for the bowel screening program if you're not already on it. Did the lady seeking information on a Logue family member try in the Glenfin areas where there are many Logues? I suspect part of our conversation was to sort of reach those people because it can be hard otherwise. Hi, Greg. I listened to the headline story regarding Barbie Kardashian, who is a biological male imprisoned in the women's prison in Limerick, having violently sexually assaulted two women in Dublin. As the report states, he, as they describe him, though legally he is a she, he is further charged with threatening to rape and assault a female prison guard. It should be noted that Kardashian, a Brazilian national with a history of violence against women in Brazil, has not transitioned. He still has male genitalia and getting shot to that is not a condition of transitioning in any case. The courts here placed him in the women's prison as he identifies as a woman. So essentially, a biological male with male genitalia who has a history of sexual violence against women and has been convicted of violent assaulting women in Ireland has been sent to a women's prison where he poses a significant threat to a female, literally captive audience. Simply because he changed his name, wears makeup and skirts and calls himself a woman. His rights to identify as a woman supersede the human health and safety rights of biological women. And that is the big conversation at the moment. So the rights to be inclusive and to recognise someone's identity, it's infringing on other people's rights. And it's often women that actually bear the brunt of that. He was born, or she was born, Gabriel Alexandro Gentile, 22, from Trimming, County Meath. So he's got a gender recognition certificate. So that actually just specifies his female. So you don't really have to transition or what have you. I'm not sure what the criteria for receiving a gender recognition certificate is. But anyway, the government, the state gave him one, which described they as female. And then he changed his name from by deed poll from Gabrielle Gentile to Barbie Kardashian. So that's that full story. It's well known out there. I must actually check what the criteria is for gender recognition cert. I might do that during the next ad break. Right. Hi, Greg. I feel sorry for Mary Lou as she's trying to clean up a mess made by men in the party. Did you notice how little a United Ireland is mentioned nowadays by Sinn Féin? Every TD says they'd rather be talking about housing and health, but they don't add United Ireland. I thought that was their main aim. Well, they had a series of meetings. Sinn Féin last year had a series of meetings with that aim where people from sort of all backgrounds, whether, you know, religious or what have you, were invited to attend, and it is in their manifesto and what have you. So I presume they'd argue that that's that. That being said, you know, at the end of the day, in the run-up to election, what's going to get people out to vote? Is it the conversation about immigration? Yes. Is it the conversation about housing? Yes. Is it the conversation about health? Yes. Is it the conversation about a United Ireland? People care about it, of course. Will that get people out to vote? Because every party is says their aim is for a United Ireland. I would say not. So if I was a party strategist, I would say, look, talk about the things that are going to get people out to vote. Small businesses. I know small businesses struggling to pay electricity bills of €1,000 a month. At the same time, we're not allowed to buy cheap energy from Russia, with the West spending billions and billions in continuing and promoting this proxy war. Yeah, that's definitely a point of view. But that being said, why is pretty much everywhere else in Europe paying less for electricity? I must do a comparison of electricity prices, because if that were the case, and what you're saying was fully accurate, all of Europe would be paying massive electricity bills. But that's not the case. We're paying one of the highest rates in the EU, and not only that, we're actually paying. Sometimes if you say something that loud, but sorry for sniggering. We're also paying, part of our electricity bill is to pay for the green network and subsidise wind energy, which is a funny old situation. I was curious as to how you apply for a gender recognition cert. So I was of the view that maybe you had to, I don't know, demonstrate how you live your life or what have you, but you don't really. You just go to the website and download a form which is recognised by the Gender Recognition Act 2015. And I went through the form, and it really just says that all you have to be to qualify is registered in the Register of Births, registered in the Adoptive Children's Register, registered in the Register of Inter-Country Adoptions, recorded in Foreign Births Entry Book, other Foreign Births Register, and you simply declare your gender, and you have to get someone, a peace commissioner, a solicitor, commissioner of oaths, to confirm your new gender. Then you attach your birth cert, proof of residency. If you have had your preferred gender recognised in another jurisdiction and wish to have that recognition validated here, a copy of the relevant decision, order, or certificate needs to be included. Then you send that off, and that's it. You are issued then, once it's locked, issued with a gender recognition certificate. And at that point, if you identify as male, your sex is changed to male. If you identify as gender, your official gender is is changed to female. So there you go. That's it. It's not actually complicated. Matt Carthy is the man to lead Sinn Féin into the general election, believes a listener. And steady, a leaking ship. Time to cast Mary Lou MacDonald adrift before the boat sinks, they say. What's going on with the toilets in the retail park in Letterkenny? Will they be built soon? It's terrible if you're out with grandchildren or anything like that. I don't know. I've been talking about them for ages. I've had numerous interviews from recent years saying they're on the way soon. Yes, it's if you've got grandchildren, but also many people need access to a bathroom at short notice, and many people get caught out. We spoke to a lady who was caught out in that area and was rushing to another area for the toilets, fell and badly injured themselves. This stuff happens all the time. The road up at Windy Hall in Letterkenny is treacherous at the moment. Cars are speeding. There is no need, believes a listener. A caller says it's only dark for 8 weeks out of the 52, so nothing to change there. Okay, that's in relation to whether the clock should go forward or if they should go back. My husband was picked up in bowel screening. He sent it away and discovered he had cancer, and Dr. Joyce operated on him 8 years later, and he's doing well and live to tell the tale. It's so important to get checked. So that's three listeners and counting. Three listeners that did the bowel screening. They had no symptoms as such. It was picked up as cancer, and all three doing well. So important. I mentioned that. Right, okay. A quick birthday request before we move on. Stephen Dooley from Letterkenny, congratulations on your professorship in the Department of Physics in Trinity College Dublin. All your friends in Letterkenny, not so bad, not so bad. Well done to you.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Okay, good to have Leo on board. Chris Ashmore's in studio. Good morning, Chris. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg.
How are you keeping?
Good.
All right, okay. Right, Baby Bank Charity.
Yes, are we going to that straight away?
I don't know. Yeah. It's written on the top of my sheet.
Yeah, I think, shall we skip that? We'll come back to
right,
that.
Let's talk about this, Stratis Consulting then.
Yeah. Now, this is a report out. It's called Time for a Reset and Return to More Normal Pay Adjustments in 2025 in Light of Falling Inflation. So what this is all about, wages went up quite a bit the last few years, and I heard you speaking earlier about the costs for businesses and the national minimum wage is going up. And there is speculation it could go up again because they're talking about this, the national living wage. And the thing is, there could be another increase. The target is to get your national living wages based on 60% of the median wages. Now, some employer groups are very concerned because the national minimum wage has gone up considerably in the last couple of years. Inflation has slowed to 2%. It's going to drop under 2%. And suddenly these wages are going up way ahead of inflation.
But again, though, lots of the businesses that are having to deal with that are businesses in Donegal, retail, hospitality, pubs.
Exactly.
You know, whereby it's not the multinationals and a lot of other companies because they're already paying in excess of the minimum wage, or even indeed the living wage.
Indeed, and they're saying now the actual minimum wage has gone up. The increases over the last 2 years have been cumulatively 19%. So we're going to hear a lot more about this. Don't be surprised if the national living wage gets kicked down.
I kind of got a sense from that from Mr. Burke earlier on. Yeah. Right, Donegal businesswomen encouraging female entrepreneurs.
Now, there's an award-winning program called Going for Growth. It's supported by Enterprise Ireland and KPMG, and it is very much directed towards female business owners who want to expand their businesses. The deadline is November the 15th. A lot of people in Donegal have already availed, but there's 60 places available. It's a six-month cycle, and the feedback from it in previous years has been very positive. And among the past participants from Donegal include Larissa Feeney of Kinnor, who's also president of the Donegal Women in Business Network. And so the details, goingforgrowth.com, if you're interested. Yeah.
Do you remember
that.
Going for Gold?
Henry Kelly, wasn't
that?
Yeah.
And Matthew...
Matthew Kelly as well.
Henry Kelly was the blonde Irish guy, was he?
Yeah.
Henry,
yeah.
That was Henry, and Matthew. And there was a lady. Who was the woman?
Can't
I am going so far back there. Like, I am accessing a part of my brain I have not accessed for 40 years.
Gosh.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it, the brain? Anyway, okay, go. I could sing you the theme tune, but I won't. Right, back to business news. Recognition for 110 Irish food and drink companies.
Yeah, now this is it's through Bord Bia. It's the Origin Green Gold membership. Essentially, this is rewarding companies that are showing how they are getting their sustainability targets, reducing emissions, waste, etc. The good news is 8 Donegal companies now added on the list. Some of them have been there before, including Gallagher's Bakery, Atlanta Fish, Errigal Bay, Filigan's, Foil Food Group, Kinnegar Brewing, Mallow Mio, and Synergy Kombucha. Quite a few of those have actually been on that list previously, but well done indeed to them. And speaking of awards, Greg Inishowen Co-op has been awarded the Excellence in Community Outreach accolade at the 2024 Octobuild Awards, which were held in the Mansion House in Dublin. And Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa has been selected as a finalist in the small and medium business category for the 2024 Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland Energy Awards. We're beginning to get into awards season as such.
Yeah, all right, brilliant stuff, excellent. Looking forward to some award ceremonies coming up. But just before I go on, it was Henry Kelly presented Going for Gold. Matthew Kelly wasn't on that. He was another presenter. Yeah. He did Stars in Their Eyes and a few other shows. Right? Okay, so John Suchet and Dean Wilson, he was a stand-in, were other presenters on Going for Gold. Just by the by, right?
Thank you.
Okay, now you are going to speak about the baby bank that I mentioned right at the top of this.
Yes. Now, this is Ireland's first ever it's a registered charity. It's the first ever national baby bank. It's called Community Collect. And essentially, it provides essential baby items to families who are struggling to afford them. They bring in secondhand materials and all sorts of donations. They have a number of hubs around the country, and then they give them out to those who are in need. They've also done a partnership with IKEA. They're getting a euro from every sale of certain products towards Community Collect. And it was founded by, and the CEO is Elaine Noonan, a native of Donegal. She's living in Dublin now and doing a lot of good work. And this week's Business Matter, she is the main focus of attention.
All right, let's listen to Elaine now then.
Community Connect is Ireland's first national baby bank. And some of your listeners may not know what a baby bank is, but it's a concept that's well established in a number of other countries, such as across the pond in the UK, where there would be baby banks in really every large town and lots across cities such as London. And essentially what we do is we take baby items that people are finished with, like things like buggies, cots, high chairs, bouncer seats, clothing, all of those kind of things. And we then can distribute them to families who are really struggling to make ends meet and who are in need of those items for their new babies. And alongside those then, we would do lovely gift packs that we give out to the pregnant moms and the families with small babies that we support as well, with essential items like hygiene things like nappies and wipes and baby wash. We do up hospital bags for pregnant mothers who are struggling to get the essentials they need.
All right, you can see the benefit of this collaboration, you know, taking the financial strain off families struggling to provide the essential and expensive items for babies. Dublin, Cork, Galway, Kilkenny and Athlone, that's where the hubs are. Are these services accessible for our listeners, Chris?
Well, at the moment, those are the only hubs. She is hoping to branch into the Northwest and as it becomes a nationwide movement. And, you know, one of the stats that she mentions during the programme, now we can play around with figures, but she has figures that are saying that the average cost of having a baby and providing for it comes to about 13,000 euro in year one now. That's if you add up everything.
If it's again, your first child, potentially, yeah. Okay.
Because you're getting your first pram and there's all the associated things.
I wonder,
things.
Are they lost earnings included in that? Anyway, whatever it is.
It's expensive.
13K, it's a lot of money. Yeah, yeah. Right, okay. So that was Elaine Noonan there. And you can hear that full interview with Elaine on the Business Matters podcast. Right now it's on our website, highlandradio.com, and it's broadcast after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, Chris.
That's right. And if you want to contact me, businessmatters@highlandradio.com is the email address.
Okay. Now, we were talking just before I came to you, a caller frustrated at the seemingly slow progress of just getting bogs toilets down into the retail park of Letterkenny. It's hard to believe in this day and age that we're still talking about public facilities for people just for convenience, but also for the many, many people who need a toilet and they don't get as much notice as other people. They could be pregnant. There's loads of other reasons as to why. And I think often, Chris, the reason we don't do stuff in this country often is because maintenance. So bins. We're taking bins out because the bins get full. Someone has to clean it up. Because we're not doing proper maintenance, we take the bin out. That's what we do. We don't provide public toilets or amenities because, well, who's going to clean them? You know, and that's the problem. And they get cleaned twice a week and there's toilet roll on the minute they're cleaned, there's toilet roll shoved down the toilet and poo and all stuff everywhere and they become toxic. You were out foreign recently. You paid to go to the toilet, right?
I paid. Spending a penny cost me 90 cents.
Yes.
Now, you could scan it or you could put the coins in.
So you can tap or use coins.
Yes.
What were the toilets like?
The toilets were good. They were clean. They were maintained. It was in a very busy central station. There was a constant flow of people there, but there was several members of staff. They're constantly being cleaned, so you're, one suspects, cutting down considerably on antisocial behaviour. You feel safer because there's other people around there, and they're clean, Greg, and they're being replenished with supplies when they run out. Yes, you know, a lot of people would begrudge paying money, but given the option, and it's there, and it's open Now, I don't
90 cents seems a lot. And also, too, obviously, that's already in a busy area where there's a staff infrastructure there, right? Yeah. I wonder, would the paid system be a solution to getting toilets in more areas? You know, how much would people be prepared? 50 cent.
50 cent might 50 be
reasonable. 50 cent to use a bathroom.
Yeah.
If it's guaranteed to have toilet paper and it's to be clean and you feel safe. Good lighting.
I think a lot of people would say, well, if you want to go, 50 cent is a small price to pay.
But would it pay? I wonder, would it contribute enough to the upkeep?
Yeah, it's going to have to be really to pay for itself. And using that sort of model, it's going to be in busy urban areas.
Yeah,
you're not
now,
going to get
I'm
it.
Not saying that that's what's being proposed for Letterkenny, but at this stage, we need toilets. So it's whatever solution can be found to actually make them viable.
Yeah, I actually think this is a broader issue in this country. A lot of the public toilets in Ireland are not great at all compared with when you go abroad.
There's toilets in certain towns, and I won't name them, but I would have to just be on the brink before I'd go into them.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have to be, you know, we'd have to be just the only other option.
Yeah.
Because they're so stinky and dark and they just feel like stuff's going on in them that they shouldn't.
It's surprising. There's never been back to your Green Origin Awards, whatever, like a seal of approval, maybe through the AA or somebody, that you've a lot of bars and cafes and petrol stations and the quality of the toilets varies hugely.
Yeah.
Should we have a national sort of approval and, well, you know what you're getting sort of,
like,
thing then?
I judge your premises often on the toilets.
Yeah.
You know, if they're good, clean toilets.
And I'm sure you've been down the country and you've gone into a petrol station, gone to the toilet, and if it's not good, you're not stopping there the next time you're travelling down.
It's old cubicle out the back. Yeah. And at my age, I'm not good at hovering. You know, my size just can't take it, Chris. Right, okay. Interesting. I was just interested to throw it out to the listeners. Would you be prepared to pay 50 cent to access clean, you know, stocked toilets that you felt safe and secure in? Or do you believe that the state should be providing them free of charge? Who's to say? Separate to all of that, you can go onto our website right now, just to recap, and listen to the Business Matters podcast, and you can listen to it live on the radio then, albeit pre-recorded after 6 o'clock on Sunday. Chris, as always, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Yes, indeed.
All right, take care of yourself. Thanks so very much indeed. All right, I have to cast my mind back to late 2021 when there were plans for a nighttime economy initiative. Fast forward to 2024, and I believe it's the same scheme that's coming to fruition now. It's the nighttime economy programme. And Sophie Gallagher is the nighttime economy advisor with Donegal County Council and is with me now. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
So this is the same initiative that was talked about in 21 coming to fruition now?
It is indeed. It's funded by the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaelic, Sport and Media. And there are 9 pilot towns in the country, and Buncrana was the last one to start there in June.
All right, brilliant stuff. And what is the aim of it?
I suppose the aim is to develop the nighttime economy and build on what's existing at nighttime offerings after 6 o'clock, and maybe help fund and help support new ideas and new ways of experiencing our towns and cities at night.
Now, people would go directly maybe to pubs and restaurants, but it's about providing, is it not, a diverse range of activities that are often absent in towns in the evenings?
Yeah, I suppose restaurants and bars have very much been the backbone of the nighttime economy for a long time, and they still will be, but it'll be about increasing footfall to those cities and towns to ensure that everybody benefits from a more thriving nighttime economy, and it'll increase our ability to attract tourists and visitors and just improve our offerings overall to make sure we get people out and about and socialising and improve everybody's well-being at the same time, get them socialising.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a whole host of events, but what is the time frame for this, right? So if this is a pilot programme, you know, over what period of time are we talking in Buncrana?
I suppose I'm in post since June, so it's a 2-year pilot. So the programme will last for 2 years. So we're really in our infancy at the moment. However, we have a 2-week programme of events that began on the 18th of October, that we invited businesses and organisations to apply for grants, helped managed by local events company MRK, we have allocated 28 grants to local businesses and organisations, and we've pulled that together in a programme of events.
So. Is MRK, are they responsible for all of this underneath you? Is that it? They've been charged with organising this, have they?
Well, one of the things that has been highlighted through all the pilots is there's one advisor per pilot area, so it's very much a collaborative approach. This is funded through Donegal County Council, but we're going to need everybody on board. It's everybody's pilot, really. So MRK are the delivery agent working with myself. Mm-hmm. We're working together in collaboration with all the businesses and organisations, and we're creating, I think, bringing their event expertise on board. We're really creating a bit of a buzz about the town, and we're building on what's already happening and giving groups and organisations a chance to try something new.
Right, so how were these events identified? Was it, as you say, you know, the likes of pubs and restaurants have been the backbone of the nighttime economy up until now. Did they sort of come to you with suggestions, or was it you and the likes of MRK Live that decided on events and approached venues, or how did that, or how is that working?
I suppose from the very start, we've had to highlight who the stakeholders are, who the businesses are, who the organisations are. To myself and MRK, we've tried to visit as many businesses as possible, and we've created a database of email addresses. So we've promoted the grant scheme online and via email, and created an online document for groups to apply. And we were actually really pleased with the interest and the breadth of ideas. And if this is a sign of what's to come, I think there's plenty of ideas from people, businesses and organisations in Buncrana on things that they want to try and see if it'll work and stimulate the nighttime economy.
So I have a big list of stuff. Is this part of sort of an umbrella event, the Buncrana Halloween Carnival? Are the events that I'm looking at running, that have been running and run to the end of October, sort of under that umbrella? Or is this the just more general, you know, Buncrana by Night programme?
So Buncrana by Night is what we're calling the Buncrana Nighttime Economy Initiative. Uh-huh. And everything in the programme is funded by Donegal County Council through the Department for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaelic Sport and Media. So everything in that programme, everybody, business and organisation applied for a grant.
Brilliant. Do you want to pick out some highlights? I mean, there's an awful lot there, but I mean, maybe just to emphasise the diverse sort of types of entertainment and activities that are coming up.
Yeah, well, I think a key part of developing the nighttime economy is that we've something for everybody. So, for example, we're running some comedy nights in the Buncrana Cinema, which is a real asset to the town. So we had Fiona Doherty on Monday night. Tonight we have Paddy McDonald at 8 o'clock. We've got lantern making workshops with Avant Garden on Thursday the 24th of October. There's a Warhammer night for people who are into that niche on Thursday night as well. In the Lou's Bar, we have a hypnotist. Obviously, O'Flaherty's Bar have Kiel coming on Sunday night. So we've got a really good range of activities, and you know, some bars have applied, and then we've got Inishowen Darts tournament in the Youth and Community Centre on Tuesday the 29th of October. So, and another great event would be the Tea Time Trad Sessions for teens on Wednesday the 30th in O'Flaherty's. So we have a real range of activities and initiatives. There's a wellness event in Swan's Perk as well called Rest, Reflect and Renew, and that's on Friday the 25th of October at 6:30, and that's hosted by My Psychology Ireland. So there's a mixture of wellness, niche things like the Warhammer event, there's Pilates, there's a dance event on the Kirstine Lawn on Saturday at 6 o'clock. So we really believe that being inclusive and maintaining a diverse range of events will give something for everybody to enjoy.
All right, how do people get all the details, because there's a lot there and it's for different people, so they'll want to have a look through them. It's hard to pick it all up on the radio. They'll want to have a look through them and sort of pick out what might be good for them.
So it will be live on Go Visit Inishowen and Go Visit Donegal, and you can search for MRK on Facebook and you'll find it there. And it'll be going out through all the Donegal County Council channels today. So there'll be plenty of ways to access the information.
Excellent. And I think really this is a pilot program, and it works by being successful, doesn't it? You know what I mean? That's how it gets extended or prolonged or moved to other areas. So it's important that there's a good level of public engagement. With that in mind, and given the fact that there are grants available and this is being funded by the state, is there entry fees or is it all free, or what's the story?
Some organisations are choosing to run free events. Some are charging. We would like to see some of these ideas become self-sustainable in the future. So we encourage people to charge a small fee if it means that in the future they won't need to rely on funding and they'll be able to be a self-sustained standalone event.
Yeah.
So it's really give it a try. Try your ideas, see if they work, and hopefully then we can help support you to stand on your own two feet.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks so much for your time. Really enjoyed that. Sophie Gallagher, who is the Nighttime Economy Advisor with Donegal County Council, 086 60 25,000. We were talking about the cost of spending a penny. Greg, I would pay 50 cents to use toilets, but only if it was cash. When I use my card, it's a 35 cent transaction, so it'll be 85 cents. I don't use the card. Why should I be feeding the banks 35 cents every transaction? Do people not realise how much they're being fleeced by the banks? That's why they want a cashless society. I don't know if it's a particular bank you're with. I don't pay 35. If they were charging me 35 cent per transaction, I wouldn't be using my card. Or even, in fact, if they were charging me 35 cent per 50 transactions, I wouldn't. That's not how it works for me anyway. I don't know which bank you are with, but if I tap for 50 cent, it's 50 cent. So as I say, what bank are you with? Let me know. I'd be interested to know. Hi, Greg. Just a wee message to say we did have to pay to go to the loo at the Market Square, the toilets in Bundoran and Rathmullen, and it was never a problem. That's going back 60 years ago. Really? So you're paying to pee 60 years ago. Wow. There's a filling station and restaurant in Monaghan, which is very busy. The restaurant's very good, but the outside toilets are awful. Taps not working sometimes, no dryer, no hot water. I often wonder why a successful business overlooks the importance of clean, operational toilets. I've stopped going there now. It's on my route to Dublin. The smelliest, if there's such a word, toilets I've ever encountered was in Bosseran's station in Monaghan town. I think they're not as bad in recent years, though. Oh, God. We're not going to do a smelliest toilet feature. Please. I don't. Should we? If it gets people texting, where's your smelliest toilet? 086 60 25,000. Or maybe if someone in your house and you're lucky to have two toilets, that you make sure they only use that one. I don't know. I'm a backstreet mechanic in the bog and I have a toilet for myself and customers. It's what a way to describe yourself. This is not, I haven't called the person. This is how they describe their business. I'm a backstreet mechanic in the bog. And I have a toilet for myself and customers. It's no palace, but the toilet is clean and fresh. I don't like hovering myself. I'm too old for that now. Brilliant stuff. You need to put that in a sign. I'm a backstreet bog in a backstreet bog mechanic in a bog. Hey, great to have us. You have us on in the background. Appreciate it. Morning, Greg. Just tuned in. Was in Rosnala a few weeks ago. I've never seen anything like it. It's disgusting. I know Rosnala has been talked about before. Such a shame because it's a beautiful beach. I think there are plans, though, for a development there that will include public toilets. It's terrible, particularly in the summer. And we get pictures in, which I'm not discouraging, but I got pictures of those toilets down there and they were horrendous. Greg, is it just me or am I missing something? Are the working class and middle class getting poorer, but the surplus taxes with the surplus taxes going elsewhere? With the cost of living, three people make choices to have meals out. One goes all the time, one goes occasionally, but less so now. One can't go at all. All three stealth taxes go to keeping businesses alive. But if they had the money in their pockets in the first instance, their colleagues would still have jobs in hospitality. Now it's too late for some businesses. That's coming in from Oisin there. Back to the toilets. You have to pay for the toilets in Air Square Centre for a long time, I think 50 cent. Are they clean? Are they worth it? Hotels in Dublin accused of gouging. Is not the government and the ESB doing the same with us in regards to electricity and fuel prices and getting away with it? Yeah, well, that's your view. Why are we paying the highest for fuel and some of the highest rates for the electricity? I don't know. Oh, God, here we go. You're right. I said going for gold. Greg, you're thinking of Game for a Laugh, which was Henry Kelly, Matthew Carey, Jeremy Beadlin, Sarah Kennedy. Yes, I was confusing Game for a Laugh with Going for Gold. But Henry Kelly, was he in Going for Gold? I don't know. I'm all confused now. Who was in Going for Gold? Henry Kelly was in Going for Gold. Yeah, that's it, right? But Game for a Laugh had Henry and Matthew Kelly in it. Brilliant stuff. Thank you for that. Hi, I was wondering, could you do a segment on the amount of rubbish lying on the side of our roads? People just throwing rubbish out of their car windows, especially in today's day and age. I was out for a walk this morning and gathered a full bin liner in 20 minutes in the Castlefin area. It's disgusting. And I think often what happens as we head into the winter and the hedges are cut or the growth dies back, that it exposes the horrible dumping that we've seen all summer. Not that it doesn't go on during the winter, don't get me wrong. Why do people throw stuff out of the window of their car? What is the mentality? What is going through the head? We are seeing a reduction in cans and bottles because of the recycling scheme. Whether people like it or not, it is reducing some litter. But obviously, still some feel the need to just dump it out. Hi, could you read this out in your show, please? Congratulations to Laron Pubble, now Rossen, Dunlow Library on their 25th anniversary. Hope the celebrations go well tomorrow, Thursday. Call in and wish them well. They're having an open invitation celebration. Fiona will be delighted to see you. That comes in from Maggie. When we go to Dublin, there's a big supermarket in Auchnacloy and their toilets are immaculate. We make a point of stopping there. Thank you. I'm really put off by restaurants who do not look after their toilets. Me too. I kind of backed away from saying that because I didn't want to sound snobby. Dunfanaghy Tidy Towns keep the toilets tidy and recently done a great job refurbishing the toilets in the square. Fair play to them. They're busy, busy, busy. And why not if they look after their facilities like that? We're away now. We're back with you tomorrow on Thursday already. But stay safe and stay tuned.